Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another edition of Pistons Thoughts. I am your host, Jordan Letterman. Today we have a solo show. My voice is dead, but I'm going to give you guys a nice little episode. The summer league is done. The bulk of the roster moves are essentially done, with Hamidou Diallo coming back, Frank Jackson coming back, Saben Lee coming back, Rodney Magruder coming back. Now the Pistons essentially need to clear a roster spot after bringing back Hamidou Diallo. My gut says we're either getting a Josh Jackson trade or Jahlil Okafor is not going to make it more. I mean, he did what he had to do. He came to Detroit and he kept up the trend and he got us the number one pick. He did an incredible job in his role. And now, you know, his time in Detroit might be coming to an end. So since we last talked, the Pistons went 3-2 in summer league. Look, I know we all thought they were going to go undefeated. We all thought they were going to win the championship. It didn't quite play out that way, but we saw what we needed to see from our young guys. And I'm so confident in this young core going forward. Like, Cade 100% looked the part. Like, you can tell why we picked him number one. He had 18 points a game, 6 boards, 2 assists in his 3 games. He hit 7 threes in one game. He wasn't trying to do too much. Like, he came in very clearly stated, I know what the expectation is with the number one pick, but I'm here to fit in, make my teammates better. It's like we know what he's capable of. He knows what he's capable of. He just wasn't trying to force it, and he looked so good either way. And something we knew was going to be a nice part of his game but didn't quite see it like this, his defense was outstanding. I mean, him and Killian in the backcourt, we'll get to Killian in a minute, but defensively, that backcourt duo is going to be suffocating, and it is going to be tough. I mean, they're both tall point guards with length who are just really good and are going to get after you defensively. And I think together, especially now that we see what Cade is capable of after summer league, I'm so excited about this team defensively more than anything else right now. I know Clarence, he was putting up numbers, he was flashy, he was looking good, he's going to be a good player, but there was a very clear reason, and I've never felt more sure that Cade was the right choice number one. I'm just going to leave it there for now. And look, Killian looked good. Like, he didn't look great. We still really need to work on the shot, but the floater game was strong. Defensively, like I mentioned before, he was looking great. Like, my only concern is I'm not concerned that they can coexist. Like, I'm pretty confident they can play together on, off ball, switch off, whatever you got to do with your primary ball handling. But I don't know if you're going to maximize either one of them if they're playing the majority of their minutes together. We'll get to sort of my anticipated depth chart later, but your best bet is staggering their minutes. You know, you play them 6 minutes together up front, 6 minutes in crunch time, depending on what's going on together. But like, no more crossover. You got to stagger their minutes because they're best as primary ball handlers. They can play off ball. It's going to work. It's going to be fine. But again, you're not going to maximize either one of them by playing them both sort of half and half on and off ball. I'm just sort of going down the line here with all of the important players and notable players, how they did in summer league. Sadiq Bey, he was a man amongst boys. Like, it was very clear that he did not need to be in summer league, but it's nice to see. He added some more shot creation. Granted, we saw a little bit of that in his rookie season during some flashes. But it's nice to see. I mean, he absolutely dominated. He was the best player on the court every time he was on the court. And I mean, he's clearly been making use of his offseason, and the time with USA Basketball, I'm sure, had something to do with that as well. Mind you, we still got a couple months left before the season. There's plenty of time left for development, and that's why the summer league is so important this early. And this is why it was so bad that the rookies didn't have it last year. Like, Killian would have benefited so much had he been blitzed in summer league last year instead of his first real action. Being in the NBA as a starting point guard, that's a story for another day. But having the summer league here for all the young guys, including Sadiq, who, again, didn't even need to be there, that's huge, because now they take what they had in summer league, what went well, what didn't go well. You have another couple months to get ready. Sekou, you know, offensively still a little disappointing, but he's still showing he's a great cutter and finisher, or he's getting better at finishing. But defensively, he was on a whole nother level than we've ever seen. Look, when we drafted Sekou, we knew he was going to be a project. I know me and some other people, we thought a little early on that we might get there a little sooner than we are right now, but we were pretty confident that early on in his career, defense would be his calling card and what keeps him on the floor. That didn't quite happen like that, but he showed us some stuff in summer league. Defensively, like, now I'm more confident than I was, you know, when we drafted him. Defensively, that's how he's going to be in the games. That's how he's going to be on an NBA roster. And, you know, if we can get the offense going this season, that would be great and much more ideal, so you guys can stop calling him a bust. But he's going to be spending time with the Crews this year. It's going to be good having them right across the street, especially for guys like Sekou and Saben Lee, who we'll jump over and talk about. Looked more comfortable as time went on throughout the games. I mean, that three-point shot, you know, I'm not confident in that, but I think he's showing us that there's something there where he's not going to be left open every single time he gets the ball beyond the three-point line for the rest of his career. I mean, look, he's young. Same thing that I was talking about with the summer league not happening last year. It's going to be really good for Saben and some of these other young guys having the summer league this year, having a couple more months before training camp, and then getting into it. And he's going to be spending time with the Crews this year, too. Let's not get it twisted. But it was nice to see him get a little more comfortable as the games went on. So, last but not least, our new favorite player collectively, Luka Garza. I mean, I joke about it, him being Jokic and Dirk all in one, but, like, dude, he was so good offensively, and defensively he wasn't all terrible, granted, you know, and he understands that he needs to be better laterally and quickness-wise, but I mean, he was really good at using his verticality, and again, offensively, he's going to make it really hard to either keep him off the roster, granted he has a two-way spot right now, but it's going to be hard not to play him depending on what's happening with the bigs in Detroit. And if Jahlil Okafor is the odd man out, I think that would be amazing for A, the Pistons, and B, for Luka Garza. He's just got to keep working. But, like, man, his dad Frank is posting all these videos on Twitter. Dude works his ass off. And, I mean, if it's possible for him to be quicker laterally, he's going to get there. I'm very confident. So, all in all, I would say Summer League was a success. Even though we didn't go undefeated, we didn't win the championship, we got what we needed out of it. And man, I am so pumped for this young team's future. It's going to be fun to see how they develop over time. And honestly, a lot of them are going to be thrown into the fire this year. The Pistons team is still pretty young. So let's just walk right into the offseason moves by Mr. Troy Weaver. We re-signed Frank Jackson. We re-signed Saben Lee, we re-signed Roddy McGruder, and last night, we finally got the deal with Hamidou Diallo done. 2 years, $10 million with a team option? Honestly, like, it was projected that he was about to make $10 million a year, maybe a 3-and-33 deal type situation. In no scenario did anybody see a 2-year, $10 million deal happening with a team option at the end. I mean, that's kind of insane. Like, that's very cheap for someone who has the upside that Diallo has. But clearly, the market has dried up. You know, you still have Dennis Schroeder on the market. Like, there obviously isn't a ton more money out there to be had. Not much leverage for Diallo. Troy Weaver obviously maximized their relationship, kept him at a really, really team-friendly deal for 2 years if we want him, which it would be shocking if the Pistons did not pick up the team option next year. But with bringing back Diallo, you have an extra man on the roster that's fully guaranteed. And earlier I was speculating that it's probably going to be Okafor, but the most logical logjam solution is you move Josh Jackson. You are sort of running into a shooting guard, small forward, wing situation of a logjam. And, you know, like I said, moving Josh Jackson would kill two birds with one stone. But it's like I was talking about before. If you stagger Killian and Cade's minutes, I don't think you're going to have to choose between Josh Jackson, Frank Jackson, Diallo, and who gets the minutes at the wing spots. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. I mean, Roddy McGruder was brought back sort of veteran presence-wise. I don't think he's going to be taking up many minutes in the rotation. But look, I'm glad Rodney's back. He seems like a great guy. The team loves him. But he is taking up a roster spot now that you need to clear out. And that's why I think Jahlil Okafor, especially with Luka Garza getting picked up on a two-way deal, is probably the best option. I mean, you can realistically always find an okay third string big on the market at basically any point. Speaking of bigs, the Pistons moved Mason Plumlee in a questionable deal, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions. We moved back 20 spots in the second round, basically to get off of his contract. And Troy Weaver picked up Kelly Olynyk. No one was very happy with the deal up front, about $13 million a year for 3 years, but we learned that the third year is a team option, which really makes it a pretty movable contract next year, depending on how things go. But once you factor in the team option and you realize that it's not a three-year deal, Kelly Olynyk really makes a lot of sense on this team from a basketball perspective. He stretches the floor, which is going to really help Cade and, most of all, Killian. It's going to clear out the lane a bit. You're going to have a really nice pick-and-pop partner. Look, Kelly in 27 games with the Rockets last season averaged 19 points, 8 rebounds on 39% shooting from three. Dude can score the ball. Dude can shoot the ball. I mean, notorious piston killer. So, like, at the very least, we locked him up for 2 years, and he's no longer going to demolish the Pistons every time they play. The Pistons have a huge issue historically with stretch bigs, and Kelly Olynyk has been one of the worst to us historically, so I'm very grateful that he is on our team now and not against us ever again until maybe the third year or maybe next trade deadline, but we'll get there when we get there. All in all, definitely an upgrade over Mason Plumlee in terms of fit. You know, never loved the contract, but salary cap's going up. It's only a 2-year deal unless you opt into that third option, but it's the team choice. So it's all good. It doesn't really matter. Contract doesn't mean much. It's going to be a really good fit basketball-wise. But I am interested to see if that means that Olynyk is the starter day one or if Isaiah Stewart, who seemingly earned it, is also going to be the starter day one. I mean, look, Isaiah Stewart, I don't know how consistent it's going to be, but he's very much shown the ability to step outside, shoot threes, similar to Luka Garza earlier, works his ass off, and just, I mean, you know, I mean, he's been dealing with the ankle injury basically all summer so far, which is a bummer, but I'm guessing he's been able to work on some shooting, maybe some standstill stuff. Moral of the story, you have two centers now who can stretch the floor for you, get you boards, and should be good for your point guards in a pick and roll, pick and pop situation, spreading the floor, opening the lanes, even for guys like Sekou, Jeremy Grant cutting to the basket. This center rotation is going to be good. Now, I've been trying to sort of figure out the depth chart and how this is all going to come together now that we basically have a set roster. You know, assuming that Jahlil Okafor is the one who gets waived and Troy doesn't make another move going into this. Now, I don't know that he will or won't. Troy has shown that he's not afraid to empty the clip whenever the time is right. But going into this summer, he did say not going to be a ton of changes likely. Granted, they'll be aggressive as always. But it's sort of a let's see what happens with this young group. You know, you bring in Olynyk, you bring all your vets back, your young vets, that is, your Frank Jacksons, your Diallos. And let's just see where the team can take you this year. You have a lot of money coming off the books for next summer. We're going to get into a whole episode about what I think I'm looking forward to in terms of free agents next summer, maybe even trade deadline targets, but that's for down the road. Basically, and I think this is the best approach. I've been saying this since, you know, before the summer started. Run it back. Get that number one pick. You got Cade coming in. You got Luka Garza coming in. You brought back your guys. You get Olynyk, who's a better fit basketball-wise for your young point guards. Just see what happens. I mean, you got the play-in game returning next year. Granted, the East has gotten tough. We'll talk about that in a minute. But this is a team that had to make sure they lost enough games by sitting all their vets and good players through the last month of the season last season to make sure they weren't winning games. Because look, the Pistons were in a lot of close games last season. And all the young guys were sort of thrown into the fire, Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart especially, really thrived. And I haven't really even mentioned Jeremy Grant, who had an amazing season last season. Not very efficient shooting wise, but that's because he was the only player on the team who could create offense. So you add a Cade Cunningham, you add hopefully a Killian Hayes who's really developed going into next season. We're going to see, like I said, he's got another couple months. Hopefully get the base on that shot right. I mean, as a standstill shooter, he's really good. He's really effective. But his step backs, his side steps, you know, we really got to make sure those are going in. But Cade is going to be the best thing to happen to Jeremy Grant. And also, like, Jeremy's had a full offseason. Granted, he was with USA Basketball a lot of it so far. But he knows what he's expected to be on the Pistons. You know, last season was the first time he was the guy. So he, you know, obviously he prepares for that the ways that he does. But now he's been in that situation for a full season. He knows what to expect. He knows what's expected of him. He knows what worked, what didn't work last year. And he's having the entire summer with that specific role in mind to work on his game and tailor it to that situation. So what I'm trying to tell you is with Jeremy Grant's progression, Killian, Sadiq, Isaiah Stewart, Saben Lee, all of their progression, hopefully we get some good Sekou progression. You got Josh Jackson still young, Hamidou Diallo still young, Frank Jackson still young. All these guys in theory are going to take a step forward. You bring in the number one pick in Cade Cunningham, Kelly Olynyk. What I'm trying to tell you guys is the Pistons are going to be better than you think they are this year. I don't know that that means playoffs. I don't know that that means play-in. But they're going to be exciting to watch again, and it's going to be really interesting. And running it back with this group, when you have a full piggy bank of money coming up next summer, is the right move. And that's why I don't really anticipate much happening in terms of roster moves. So you look at the depth chart. And this is with what I think you need to do, which is staggering Killian and Cade. So your point guard situation, you got Killian, Cade, you got Corey Joseph, Saben Lee. I think Saban's going to spend a lot of time with the Crews, but that's essentially the depth at the point guard spot. Shooting guard, you got Cade, you got Frank Jackson, who was absolute fire last season, and then you got Josh Jackson. So Josh is sort of the odd man out here in this depth chart. Because then at the small forward spot, you got Sadiq, Hami, and another Josh Jackson situation. It's a lot of players playing multiple positions, 1 through 3. And then at the 4 spot, you got Sadiq, Jeremy Grant, and Sekou. And then at the center, you got Isaiah Stewart, Kelly Olynyk, and hopefully Luka Garza over Jahlil Okafor. I love Garza, and I really want him to succeed. And I don't think Jahlil Okafor really adds a whole ton to the team in terms of basketball on the court, in the game at least. So that depth chart is kind of tough to visualize as I'm just word vomiting it at you. But what I'm trying to tell you is the Pistons have some good depth this year. It's going to be fun. That's all I'm trying to say. All right, let's move on to a couple questions. Ethan asked, how many years do I think realistically until the Pistons are in the playoffs, then competing for the second round, then full-on contending? I would not be surprised if the Pistons make the play-in game this year. Do they make it into the playoffs? I don't know. Maybe they're the 9, maybe they're the 10, maybe they're 7 or 8. But I think they're at least contending for a spot this year. And then I really think next year, depending on how they use the money, look, if Cade is a fraction of what we think he's going to be, if Killian and the other young guys take any sort of step forward, with money spent the right way, which I do trust Troy Weaver, I think you're looking at like you're aiming for the second round of the playoffs next year. I know that's a jump from not even making the playoffs, but depending on how things go, I don't think that's incredibly unrealistic. And in theory, you're walking into the reigning rookie of the year's second season in Cade Cunningham, Killian, Sadiq, Stewart, all walking into year 3. And I really think with an all-star type vet coming in, that's a second round playoff team. I know I'm getting ahead of myself as I always do, but that's my answer to that question. Full on contending. I mean, it really at that point just depends how good the young guys progress in the next year or two. Could be anywhere from we have another decade to go, or we're contending in like 3 seasons, depending on how Troy makes his moves. But look, dude is aggressive, and he completely demolished the team he inherited to build it his way. And it seems like he's got something really good building. And like, look, none of us have been excited, or at least this excited about the Pistons, in so long. And not even just because of Cade. Like before Cade, even watching the season last season was brutal at times. But at the same time, you're like, this is kind of more fun than watching Blake Griffin on half a leg bringing the Pistons to the 8th spot. So that's my long-winded answer of when the Pistons will make the playoffs and when they'll be contending. But you got to keep in mind the East has bulked up, especially our division rival Chicago Bulls. They got really good this summer. The Hornets are getting better. I mean, the East is not as easy as it used to be. So it's not going to be an easy road, and it's not even a guarantee that we make the play-in game. But Cade is that guy. And I think he showed us that in summer league. He showed us in college. We'll see how it translates to real life NBA games. But I really feel confident that sooner rather than later, this is going to be a team competing for some meaningful basketball. And with that, we will wrap up this week's episode. October 20th at LCA against the Chicago Bulls is the Pistons season opener. So we are in for a treat of a season, my friends. Also, really quickly, I just got to say a very heartfelt thank you to you guys. You got me to 10,000 followers on Twitter the other day. Look, I started this Twitter account literally for the sake of talking Pistons without my regular followers wanting to mute me and tell me to shut up and stop talking about the Pistons, who haven't been good in 5 years at the time. Look, you know, it's been a long road. We've been in it together. I really appreciate you guys. We got plenty more fun coming, more podcasts coming, more everything coming. So look, it's going to be a fun summer. It's going to be a fun season. And it's going to be fun to be a Detroit Pistons fan again.